Good, we're ready to go. We have quorum. Sorry, we don't have any mics for this room, so if you can't hear us, you're not going to scream for an hour and a half. You'll have to move forward. Move to the front of the classroom. Thanks for everybody that's in attendance. We are in the training room in the World Trade Center building in Salt Lake City. For those of you joining us online, thank you for your attendance. We have Jonathan here, Jerry here, I'm here, Abby Chair, and Jeff Moss is online. And we will have our newest member join us in about 10 minutes, Tyler Clancy. So we've published our meeting. We're going to be electing a vice chair today. We're going to be hearing from Ben on an executive director report, some policy updates, some updates on some contracts for approval, and we'll do some regular board business. We'll go into a training session and talk about a few things as a retreat for the board that we do annually. We are going to have public comment period at approximately 10:45 today. So for those of you online, just be prepared for that. Again, it's 2 minutes. We're going to deviate from the agenda just a little bit and go to the approval of the minutes from June 26th, which have been circulated, gentlemen, and for your review. But I will take a motion on approval for that.
So moved.
Thanks, Jonathan.
And I would second.
Thanks, Jerry. So we have an approved motion and a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Jeff, we'll let you vote on that one.
Aye.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, I'm jumping around here. Ben, let's go to you on the report. Give you a few minutes till Tyler gets here.
That sounds great. And I'll take just a couple minutes. Hopefully we'll have a few board members here shortly. Larry. We've had a lot happen over the last several months since our last board meeting. As a reminder, we were last meeting in Fairfield, and Cedar Ford, as that project area was adopted back in June. We have had a month and a half, a couple of months to ponder on that meeting, give our board members a little bit of a break, really not give them too much of a break because we've had a lot going on in these summer months, including the announcement of the new BN intermodal service, which we were ecstatic to have happen, and thank you, Chair, and to our board members who were a part of that event. And we've had a number of other things that have happened over the last couple of months. So in this executive director's report, I just wanted to give a brief update of what we've been working on over the summer months to allow the public and help the public understand kind of our cadence for board meetings for the rest of the year. And then just a couple of other items that we're working on. So we will, after today's board meeting, our next board meeting will be the second Friday in September. I believe it's the 11th or the 12th. And so we will be meeting again in September. Then in October, we will be in Cedar City for the One Utah Summit, supporting that event. We're excited to be out with a lot of our rural partners. We're anticipating that that meeting will be held on Monday, October 6th, probably in the afternoon time. We have tentative dates scheduled for a November and a December meeting as well, and then also in January, a January meeting. And then we likely, again, will not have a February meeting because of the legislative session. So just a little bit of foresight or forewarning in terms of what our meeting schedule and cadence will be over the next several months. Just a couple updates for the board. On a landfill update, we are going to go into depth a little bit more with our board over the next couple of meetings. But as of right now, we're seeing really good progress with the landfill. Our partner, Nenegrit, and our regulatory body, the Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ, has been doing an amazing job as we started to really get into the meat. Hey, Victoria, how are you doing? Really get into the meat of our efforts there on the landfill. As we get through remediation, I just want to remind the public that our prime and most important priority on the landfill site is getting it remediated. We will begin to work on, Representative Clancy, come on in. We will begin to work on a master plan and helping to understand how that landfill will develop out. We do have a number of restrictions on that landfill site that we will be working through, that we'll go through that with the board members in, with the board in more detail in the future. But I did just want to make sure that the board is aware the landfill site is moving forward. We are working through master plans. We've got a lot of interest from a lot of people in that site, but our top priority will remain the significant cost to remediate that property. So when anybody ever asks me if the port has money, I say we have some, but it is already spoken for with the massive effort that is the landfill remediation. That will be you always hesitate to throw out numbers, but we're probably looking at about $200 million right now for that remediation effort. So, but it is well underway. We appreciate Mark Nord. We appreciate Gary. I know Gary's not with us today, from Nenegrit and the amazing work that they're doing, and also our regulatory partners with the Department of Environmental Quality. A couple of other items. I do want to reference that we slightly altered in a non-substantive way the San Juan County, also known as the Ancient Sky Project area. We made some adjustments to the logistics portion of that plan. We did not make any changes to the budget, but whenever we do that, it's within our policy that we like to notify the public that we have made some of those changes, and they are online and available for your review if you'd like to go see them. As it does not affect the financial portion of that plan and budget, we do not bring that back to the board. Also, I do want to just welcome one of our new staff members, Nadine Stevens-Hendry. I will talk about this more and more over the next few board meetings, but it's very, very important to me. And this is from a number of life and professional lessons. Welcome, Joel. A number of life and professional lessons that when you take care of internal policies, financial procedures, specifically contracting and procurement, you will be a stronger agency. I believe that to my core. And so we will always put a priority and a focus on making sure that our internal controls and our internal procedures are in a good place. So Nadine has agreed to come in and help with our contracts and compliance. And she has a rich history and a great resume, previously just coming to us from the Utah Housing Corporation. We just want to say thank you to Nadine for accepting this position and coming in to help the Inland Ports efforts. All right. We did also just want to give a brief logistics update. And Alan, I know we're going to go into a more specific logistics update. Alan, I think for this logistics update, I'm just going to say that I wanted to make the public aware that the Port Authority has completed our contract with Delta Airlines. We know that we are still working on some other items related to that contract, specifically with the airport, but we did bring a contract back to this board for their approval. And I just wanted to notify the public that that contract has been completed. We are working with Delta Airlines at a cargo facility at the airport. There's still a few other hurdles that they're still working on, but we felt like because that was a large sum of money, we just wanted to bring that back and notify both the board and the public that that had happened. And Madam Chair, I think you'll speak to this in one second. Just one item related to the board leadership dynamic. Madam Chair will explain this. I'll just give my two cents quickly. We appreciate the board looking at two vice chairs instead of one. With how busy this board is, but how busy the port is, we feel like, again, internal controls and making sure that we're taking care of areas of risk, that we have board leadership involved in the significant areas of what we're doing with the board. And so I know that's something that has been considered. We've had just one vice chair in the past, but I just want to note and thank the board for their consideration of two vice chairs moving forward to help ensure that we've got board leadership involved in all aspects of board. So, Madam Chair, that's the report.
Thanks. Thanks, Ken. For those of you that just came, we do not have microphones, so you got to speak up to get your voice in the audience. But the, reduce the fund limit on this. Okay, let's go back up to item number two on our agenda and do the oath of office. We're reappointing and appointing new members. Jefferson Moss, who's on here, who's been a longstanding board member, who was originally appointed by Speaker Schultz for the House appointment, has moved over to take the executive director position of GOEO. So now his appointment is switching actually from a House appointment to a governor appointment. And then to my left, Representative Tyler Clancy, which I'm super excited to have on the board, is the representation from Speaker Schultz's appointment on board. So let's go ahead, Carol, and administer. Stand up. Yes. Jeff, I don't think you have to stand up, but if you'll raise your hand.
And I trust that you'll watch him.
I can watch him.
Thank you. state your name.
I, Jefferson Moss.
Tyler Manson.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Obey and defend.
I will support, obey.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
States.
State of Utah.
Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties.
That I will discharge the duties.
Of my office with fidelity.
Of my office with fidelity.
Congratulations, Jeff. Thanks for continuing to serve and for being willing to do this. This is probably going to be one of your most fun and exciting. Tyler does a lot for the House. If those of you online don't know him, he's one to watch. So welcome to both of you. All righty. It says for me to briefly introduce themselves to all of us on the notes. Do you want to take a minute, Tyler? Everyone knows Jeff, so he doesn't. We don't need to do that. But if you want to just introduce yourselves to everyone, that'd be good.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Representative Tyler Clancy, as Abby's kindly introduced me. My day job, I serve as a detective with the Provo City Police Department. I used to be the executive director with Solutions Utah, working with former Speaker Hughes, President Niederhauser, and Councilwoman Petro. So more than anything, just very excited to keep being a good team player and supporting the good work of economic development that's going on all across the state. So I'm honored to be here and happy to collaborate.
We're happy to be here. Mentioned he's also a representative for the Provo area. And he just got off shift. Night shift. But this is pretty much Tyler's life. This is day job and right to legislative work.
Okay. We sleep upside down.
Nocturnal poop. I saw a bunch of them this morning. All righty. Ben alluded to this, and we're going to talk about the vice chair seat. Obviously, there's five members here on the board. Just going to take the privilege of the chair for a minute. There is not a day that goes by, even most Saturdays, that I don't talk to Ben. I wish somebody could see our text messages of just like the length of stuff that we go through on a daily basis. But it's super fun assignment. The reason I say we're a five member board, I just want to remind everyone when we get more than two of us, we're a quorum. And so we don't do that. We're really, really diligent about not meeting together unless it's a formal meeting, which makes things kind of complicated when we're talking about the deal with Delta or the landfill situation or something that's happening in Southern Utah. So we really try to divide and conquer the assignments of the board, and where people are assigned out, who's kind of running point with staff. So, the concept of having two vice chairs was intriguing to Ben and I a couple months ago when we started throwing around how do we get everybody really involved in all the day-to-day things that are going on inside the port. So that's where we decided that we would take advantage of having another vice chair and kind of spreading the wealth of of assignments around. So I would be open to nominations if there's a board member who would like to make a motion to fill our vice chair.
Chair, I would like to make a motion. That's okay. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I just want to say I often hear with this board, you know, we shrunk it quite a bit. And in some ways, people think, well, that does that put more work on the individuals? I actually think there's a lot of benefits that we can move more nimble, more fast. But at the same time, providing the same level of scrutiny and oversight. I would say, though, knowing the amount of work that this board has to take on, I think this idea of adding another vice chair is critical. So I would like to make a motion. Sorry, I'm losing my voice here. To make a motion to appoint as two vice chairs. So I would like to make a motion to add the additional vice chair, Jerry Stevenson and Jonathan Friedman, as the vice chairs.
That is in order to have.
Could you define vice?
More assignments.
more work for the same pay, Jerry.
Clancy did define vice.
It's kind of vice in its own way.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate that nomination and that motion. Is there a second to that?
I'll second that.
Thanks, folks. I'm glad to see there's a second. So you're going to go ahead and place that motion. All in favor of having two vice chairs, Senator Stevenson and Jonathan Friedman as our vice chairs, please say aye.
Aye.
Perfect. That is unanimous.
Can I just do a point of clarification? It is more than two voting members at a time violates form. The three ex officios without a vote can be added at any time without violating form, correct?
Yes. That's right. Right. Okay, so in the minutes, we did the executive director's report. So now we're going to hop down to some policy issues, which is item number six on our agenda. You're coming up to give us an update on some board policies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm here to speak to two policies that we are bringing to the board for their annual review, as we have done with any of our board policies, which you can find on our website. We always bring them up, whether they have changes or not. And it's at this point in time, you're not going to be seeking action, but we do have BP01, which is the open and public meetings policy that we have. It covers how we handle public notice, 2 minutes, to electronic meetings and our agenda and public commentary. As you will see in our next agenda, we'll actually be covering some of the requirements with this, with our legal counsel leading us during our board retreat agenda through the OTMA training. As we review this, we haven't seen a need for any additional changes, but wanted to bring that up to the board at this time. In addition, we have our BP03 communications and media policy. This covers our media interactions and process, as well as our press releases, advisories, and notifications, social media and website use, as well as the use of the logo. And again, as we review this policy, we don't have any proposed changes at this time. I will open it up to the board if they have any questions or comments on these two policies.
Seeing none, Amy. If you go.
Great. I will move on to the next component, which is for contracts that we have for the board to review, and we will be seeking a board motion to approve later on in our agenda. The first one that we have is, as we discussed in a meeting earlier, we have an agreement that we put together and drafted with Salt Lake City. This is for additional funding using the interlocal funding agreement that we had, that the board had already prior approved for the amount of $180. And we are requesting this board approval to complete some of the additional crossings and signage related to this project, as it helps with train notifications when we have train crossings and conflicts at that time. The next contract is for a, marketing and advertising. Our contract had come to terms with our prior vendor. We put it up for an RFP, and we, based on the results of the RFP, we have, would like to move forward with Happy Inc. We are asking for $250,000 for a 2-year period, and then an additional 2-year with, the duration of the contract will be 2 years, and then we would like to have 3 optional 1-year extensions, as well. The next contract after that, is related to the RAISE grant that is in Iron County, was awarded to us in partnership with Iron County. This is with the FRA. And we are looking to do some additional, have a third party do some additional components around freight demand analysis, infrastructure needs assessment, and economic feasibility analysis, as well as some of the community engagement aspects of this grant. So we did put this out for an RFP. We did this in partnership. So we had both members from Utah Inland Port Authority, experts in those areas, as well as with Iron County. The vendor that will be receiving this is Cambridge Systematics, and we are looking at a value not to exceed $440,000, and then the duration of this is all deliverables will be completed by the end of April 2026, which works nicely because the end of the grant comes to term in May of 2026. The last agreement that we have, again, we had put an RFP for some additional legal services. This is, we put this out for RFP and are awarding to Michael Best and Friedrich. We would like to have a value of $300,000 for, and my apologies, it should be a 3-year period. And then that will be for those 3 years with an optional up to 2 additional years. Any questions on these contracts that we're asking?
Questions? I don't see any. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to the amended Tooele Valley Project Area Plan. Like Stephanie is going to take us to the stage.
It's rigorous.
Oh, where did I go? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Can I skip right over you? We're all over the board with this, so my apologies. So to the Iron Springs Project Area, you're going to give us a
what's going on there. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm just pulling up the slides here so that I can walk you through these trigger resolutions. Here we go. Okay. So this morning, first of all, my name is Danny Stewart. I'm the AVP for Southwestern Utah. Today I'm presenting trigger resolutions in 2 of our project areas. First one we have is the Nautilus One building in the Iron Springs Inland Port project area in Cedar City. This building is just about complete. We're ready to trigger the parcel. The Nautilus One building is a 67,000 square foot spec building located in the BZI Innovation Park. This building's first tenant, Iron Depot, will begin operations in a little less than a third of the space in this building next month, and I'm working closely with Drake Howell, who is the BZI Innovation Park project executive, on recruitment of a steel products supplier that we hope will occupy the remainder of this space before the end of the year or early next year. The trigger year will be 2026 for investment of differential in 2027. The next parcel we have is also located in the Iron Springs project area. This is the parcel for the newly constructed 23,300 square foot Hive Plastics facility that will begin operations next month. Hive Plastics was recruited to Cedar City area over a potential Nevada location, thanks in part to the incentive that was approved at last month's board meeting. This parcel will also trigger for tax year 2026. The next proposed 2026 trigger is in the Mineral Mountains project area in Beaver County. The Unitech manufacturing facility will be completed by the end of the year, allowing for a 2026 trigger year. This new building is located just off of I-15 in Beaver's South Peaks Industrial Park in the Mineral Mountains project area. This company is one of the Intermountain West's largest suppliers of HVAC equipment and air handling systems. The 50,000 square foot building will bring 50 new high paying jobs to the community. Many of these new hires have already been working at other Unitech locations off site since last year, and they're all anticipating the completion of this building. So those are our three trigger resolutions. Are there any questions from the board?
Take comments, Sue.
Can I make a comment? Of course, Jerry. You know, this is what Inland Port was put together for. Look at how many jobs rural Utah gets out of this. And 50 jobs in Beaver is a lot of. 50 jobs will stimulate probably another, would stimulate a little retail market. It could stimulate a doctor to move into that area and that set up shop, a dentist, and all of them will have to have two or three employees. These are the kinds of things that we've been working on in the legislature for a long, long time. And to see the Inland Port bring this to fruition is really something for us. So good job. Great. All of you, everyone's been involved in this. I know it's taken a long time or a fairly long time to get this started moving, but boy, we're on a roll right now. And it's noticed all over the state what we're doing and what we're accomplishing. Thank you.
Well said, Jerry. Well said.
Madam Chair, could we just mention as well, and for Jerry's point, this one, all of these were actually reviewed by the TAC Differential Committee, which is a subset of this board, and recommended for approval to this board.
Could I make one more comment? I promise I won't take up this meeting, but the other thing is you look at this project in Beaver and look at the tax that ground was bringing before we move this project move forward, and look at what happens now. And even if we give part of that away, that's a big taxpayer in that part of the state now. And before it was basically nothing. We have a few critics that claim we're giving away the taxes of the state of Utah, but we're not giving away at near the rate we're creating them. So I think that, you know, folks probably ought to digest that and think about that before they move forward with a lot of really funny comments.
Good point. If I could add to that, Senator, the differential that will be generated here is going to help with the build-out of the infrastructure that Beaver City needs for the continued build-out of that industrial park in their city. So that's going to help them complete the road and the other utilities that are needed for that entire industrial park. So this is really an important thing, and the folks in Beaver are excited, and we're thrilled to be able to do this now at this time.
Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
All right, Stephanie. Now it's your turn on the Willow Valley update.
Here, Osborne and members of the board, I am here to present on the amendment for Tooele Valley. And this is the original shape of the project area as it stands today. And this map indicates how we will be expanding the boundaries of that project area. We will be adding 342 new acres to the project area boundary. This new acreage encompasses the second and third phases of the Interstate Business Park development by Zenith Development. And I'm happy to report that phase one is already underway with infrastructure under construction and moving towards completion. In addition to the new acreage, the county council has also requested that we approve a 3% wetland policy that will allocate 3% of differential to the project to protect over 600 acres of wetlands adjacent to this project area. We look forward to working with the county and the landowner of those 600 acres for that specific project.
Can you go back to the previous map? I'll make sure everyone's clear. The green area is what you're talking about.
And the yellow area.
Oh, both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that yellow area to the north of the existing boundaries, that blue area.
Okay.
And the yellow and the green encompass about 342 acres.
Those are all going to be wetlands.
So none of those are wetlands. All of those are delineated developable lands. The wetland areas are just north of this project area. And the landowner of the entire project area also owns that additional 600 acres of wetland. And so we'll be using 3% of that differential in the protection of those adjacent wetland areas.
Yes, of course.
Thank you. What form of protection are we talking about? The easements over the...
Still being decided. Yeah, still being negotiated. There are a lot of options for us, but that is something that the county council has expressly desired, that this area be protected. And so we are working on figuring out what exactly that looks like, but we know that this area will not be developed.
And Stephanie, if I can just add to that briefly, Joel, to your point, Stephanie's done great work, and we really appreciate Coahuila County being proactive in determining that those wetland acres will not be developed. I want to assure our board and the public as well, we're dedicated to that as well. We'd hope some of that would have been decided prior to now, but some of those conversations can get technical, as we know. But we do want to give assurance that as part of this budget and as part of this expansion, those wetlands will not be harmed as part of this development. And I just, again, want to thank Stephanie for her good work on this.
So we know that the ones that we want to preserve are the identified wetlands in the parcels that we're attempting to add to this project area.
So any existing identified wetlands in this and the boundaries that we have indicated have either been delineated or will be delineated before any construction begins.
And they'll be afforded similar protections within the area, or?
So any wetlands will either be, they will be preserved or delineated. But the area that we have indicated in large part doesn't have any jurisdictional wetlands. Most of those wetlands that we know of have been excluded from the project area boundaries. There may be some pockets that we will need to delineate or preserve, and we will do that in due course. So no action from the board is required today, as this is just the first presentation of the project area amendment. We will be bringing amendments to the Tooele Valley PID and our tax sharing agreement with that PID in conjunction with these amended boundaries. Are there any other questions?
I guess just a comment for me. I know it's only a couple weeks away because we're not a full month from our next board meeting, but more information from this Tooele County on their intent here for next, before we approve this, I think would be really important to this board on the wetland.
On the wetland, yeah, in particular, absolutely.
I mean, even them being here.
Okay.
To present that would probably be important. Joel, yeah, this is your area, so maybe you can dive into this too. Tooele County Commission.
Yeah.
Understand what they're doing.
That'd be happy. So and then, but when you keep me informed on that,
yes.
Just let me know however I can help out.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll bring in the county council because they were adamant about this additional 600 acres that is under single ownership. And I think because of that single ownership designation, that really is an exciting opportunity for us to potentially protect, well, we'll certainly protect all 600 of those acres. And we are excited about some really, really exciting projects that could come from that. And the county council has worked with the landowner to ensure that, well, to get assurances from that landowner that it will be protected. So we'll work with the county council and they can speak to what they desire for that area.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
I don't see any. Thanks, Stephanie. Look forward to more information next 3 weeks. All right. We're 4 minutes early, but we're going to go to public comment. If there's anyone in the audience that wishes to speak, you should have turned in a card, right? Anna, we didn't have anyone? Okay. Is there anyone online that wishes to speak, Larry?
Dita Seed has her hand raised.
Okay. Dita, again, 2 minutes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Awesome. Thank you. So I just want to speak to some issues with regard to the Twilla Valley project area. So that orange chunk is in wetlands, biological wetlands, and then that you saw on that map that was shown previously. And then further down, further to the south, there are also lots of wetlands. These are biological wetlands, so the Army Corps would not designate them under the current definition of wetland. So I think you really need to think carefully about how, like if you're doing wetland preservation, how the devil's in the details, really. And so I appreciate the chair asking for more information from Tooele County. The other thing I want to point out to you is there's a groundwater crisis in the Tooele Valley, and it is very poorly understood. We talked to Tooele County elected officials, and their plan for dealing with their groundwater crisis is to get water from somewhere else. And where is that water going to come from? We have too many straws in our groundwater system right now as it is. And so the question I think you all need to have in conversation with Tooele County and the developers is, what kind of water use is this going to generate in this area? We're hearing from people whose wells are going dry. Their wells are becoming too salty. So incentivizing and fast tracking industrial development in an area where there's real uncertainty about the sufficiency of water resources for development that is already projected, that's problematic. And we should be about smart growth here. And I submit to you that it's not smart growth to do any of this until we have a good handle on what we can afford with regard to a water budget. Because if the straws in this aquifer, if this aquifer runs dry, then you're taking water from where? And what does that do to Great Salt Lake and the other communities that are also struggling for water resources? So groundwater is a huge concern. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for your comments. Appreciate it. Larry, anyone else?
No, there are no other.
Okay.
Oh, we have someone in the room, Larry.
Oh, we do.
Mr. Ackerman.
Sir, you can come up to the podium and speak.
I'm here.
Yes. He'll just announce yourself.
It doesn't work. So I'll just have to speak up.
My name's Chuck Ackerlow, and I'm the chairman of the Board of Trustees of the Tooele Valley Public Infrastructure District, which you all created, and I appreciate that very much, and also one of the owners of the property. I wanted to clarify the situation with regard to wetlands. When we acquired the property, we understood there were wetlands in the area. When you had the map up on the wall, there is actually some wetlands that still go through the center of our property. You may have noticed that. Those wetlands are just off limits. They're being left as wetlands. We went to the Corps of Engineers because we needed to cross that wetlands. And when we went to the Corps, it took us 3 months, and the rule was that we couldn't use more than a half acre of land. So the road had to be narrowed just in that area in order to accommodate the requests of the Corps of Engineers. Now, the rest of this land, we didn't particularly want to go out and buy a whole bunch of wetlands, but Morton Salt owns something like 10,000 acres out there still. And we wanted to purchase just the non-wetland area right off the freeway because we had a truck stop travel center company that's very much wants to be there. And we were negotiating with them. Well, the only way we could buy the property was we had to buy 600 additional acres of wetlands from Morton Salt. They wanted to get rid of it. And we did that. It was not a very expensive venture at all. But now they're in our hands. When we met before the county council, we were asked by the county council to make a pledge that we would not touch those wetlands for any development. And we it's on the record, we said that we don't intend to. We don't know what we would do with the wetlands. There is a possibility in the future it could become a wetlands mitigation bank for the Corps of Engineers. They have one up in, I think it's Box Elder County, but it's becoming used up. So that's a conceivable thing in the future. Other than that, we'll probably just, put some kind of a conservation easement on it and go forward from there. In terms of wetlands that the woman who was on the phone was talking about, there are wetlands and then there are wetlands. There are wetlands that are within the property here and there where the land is a little spongier than other places. Those are not under the jurisdiction of the Corps because they don't drain into this Great Salt Lake. So as long as they're not, the Corps says you can do with what you want with those, and we can obviously, in order to, accommodate the development there, we would fill some of those wetlands. We're going to raise the whole fill of the property as time goes along. I want to just make one other comment, please, and if you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
And Chuck,
we have appreciated working with your company and with your staff, and we've learned a great deal, and I'm especially proud of our legislature for having the foresight to see what an authority like this can do for the state of Utah in economic development. I can tell you as being an owner that we have calls every day from people looking to move to Utah. They're moving out of California. They're moving out of these high tax states, and Utah is a great place to come to.
Sir,
along the Wasatch Front.
We need you to wrap it up. Our comments are only 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
That's okay.
So anyway, thank you for all that. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to
answer. We'll be in contact this month to get some more information before we
Yeah, if you'd up. Like something in writing, we'd be happy to provide it.
Yes. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, Larry, any others from online?
No.
Okay. All right. That'll end public comment. Appreciate those that commented today. We're going to move to some action items, which is item number 11 on our agenda. The four contracts that Amy described. First, talk about the SLC amendment. Just want to remind the board members, this was one of the areas that we agreed to in the Salt Lake City differential, and it's the train crossing that goes through really the middle of the west side. And we're moving out of that area, some more signaling and some more traffic mitigation for that poplar grove area. So any comments on that one?
I can stay down.
Okay, you're going to do that.
I've got those motions to show on the screen here. Could you just have a second?
All right, Larry, why don't you do that one first? Guess why he's bringing those up. Sorry, if you want to say anything on this one. I know this one is very important to the city.
Yeah, this one is interesting because, and of course, the best solution is for us to get bridges that would allow us to cross over irrespective, or for us to deconflict, which I hear is priority at this board as well. But this actually just gives us a chance to plan, and the signs are already up, although they're not functional. They've been saying this was a 4-minute wait now for like a week and a half. But it'll actually let me know, should I just stay here and wait because it's only going to be 2 minutes, or should I go ahead and reroute, even if it's a little ridiculous, reroute because it's going to be 10 minutes. It's nice for us to have optionality and information that informs instead of us just playing Russian roulette with whether we'll be able to get our kids through school on time. So thank you all for this investment. It's one of those smaller dollar investments that has a bigger quality of life ROI for the people of the West Side and demonstrates that, the progress, while not perfect, is definitely towards improving the lives of the constituency there and using this project to bring about things that meaningfully respect the experience of those who live in the area. So thank you. I'm excited about this.
Sorry, this is not allowing me to share, so I'll read the motion. The proposed motion is the Utah Inland Port Authority Board approves the contract for Salt Lake City Corporation for Trainfo not to exceed $180,000.
All right. Is there a motion for Trainfo contract with Salt Lake City?
I would make that motion.
Thanks, Jerry. How about a second?
Happy to second.
Thanks, Jonathan. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Perfect. That was unanimous, Larry.
Okay, the next one is the marketing and advertising. The proposed motion is the Utah Inland Port Authority Board approves the contract for Happy Inc. for marketing and advertising services not to exceed $250,000 for a duration of 2 years with three optional one-year extensions.
Madam Chair, I have a comment to make here. Is that all right? I worked with the team at the Inland Port and joined several meetings vetting different marketing options. We were really pleased with their capabilities, with their knowledge base, and with their price. But I just wanted to commend the team at the Inland Port for the great work that they did in bringing a number of very qualified marketing firms to the table. And then after we met with them in person, we each independently voted and determined that Happy, H-A-P-I is how it's spelled, that Happy was going to be a great partner.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing that too, John. Appreciate it. Okay. Do you want
to So I'm happy to make that motion.
Wait a second.
I think Tyler makes it.
Okay.
So moved.
Wait a second. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Unanimous. All right, Larry, the Rice Grant.
The third contract for the Rice Grant, the Utah Inland Port Authority Board approves the contract for Cambridge Systems, Inc. for grant, freight demand, infrastructure needs assessment, and economic feasibility analysis services not to exceed $440,000 through April 2026.
Any comments on that one? I'll look for a motion on the Rice Grant. Raise grant, sorry.
I would make that motion.
Thanks, Jerry. A second.
Happy second.
Thanks, Jonathan. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 That's unanimous. And finally, the legal services.
Yes, the proposed motion, the Utah Inland Port Authority Board approves the contract for Michael Best and Friedrich for legal services not to exceed $200,000 for a Hey, is that correct? $300,000 for a three-year period with a duration of 3 years and optional renewal for up to two additional years.
Thanks, Larry. Do we have a motion on that legal contract? They are our current legal provider, so you know, so that's just an exception.
And Madam Chair, it's probably worth mentioning that this will not negate the legal contract relationship we have with the Attorney General's Office. Brooke McCarrick, get back. Does an amazing job. Michael Best did they had to go through a public opportunity, but they did an incredible job getting us through the purchase of the landfill, and did a great job with some of our very specialized legal services, particularly on the environmental pieces. And so we're excited to have them retained and not retained, but start a new contractual relationship with them. So just listen.
I'll make that motion.
Thanks, Jonathan. And a second.
I would second that motion.
Thanks, Terry. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right.
All right, that passes unanimously. All right, Danny presented the charter resolution on the Iron Springs and Mineral Mountain. This was our first report, well, second.
It was.
that first one that got off the ground. So this is fun to see the actual structures that go up.
Yeah.
The building of this. Larry, will you read that resolution and title for the record?
Yes, the first resolution, this is resolution number 2025-40, trigger resolution for Iron Springs project area.
Motion on approving that trigger resolution 25-40.
I would make such a motion.
Thanks, Jerry. And a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thanks, Jeff. All righty, let's go to our last one, the 25-41.
Yes, resolution 2025-41, trigger resolution for Mineral Mountains project area.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Jonathan. And a second?
I'll one second.
Thank you, Jerry. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Jeff, good. Okay. Passes unanimously. All right. Sounds great. Just need a motion to adjourn our board meeting. I'm going to let Tyler do that one. Is that all right?
Yeah, there we go.
Motion to adjourn. All right. Non-debatable.